There we go. All right. Well, good day. And how are you this fine rainy day?
Well, it's a fine rainy day right here in Grandy Bendy. This is true. But yeah, it's raining. And it's April Fool's tomorrow. It'll still be cold.
Well, you know, I could never, for those of you that don't know Canadian politics, but the government of Canada starts its new fiscal year on April 1st, which I often wondered why it was so synonymous with April Fool's Day, but I don't even know if I'm going to get an answer to that ever.
You know, in our pre-production chat, we said we weren't going to talk politics today. So we won't go there.
Okay.
Okay. There's a mess of stuff going on that we don't want to talk about because we'll see how it unfolds.
Well, that's true. But again, on a positive note, there is some good news in case you haven't seen the website. For those viewers that haven't seen our website.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Have you got it in front of you? Because I was about to do that. And I'm going to pull it up here. Our own website, which yep. We should know about, right?
We should.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to programs. And if those of you who have your computers turned on, if you go to the Border Poll website and you go BorderPoll/programs, you'll read about the Commercial UAV Expo that we're going to be participating in September of this year.
Yeah, 5th to the 7th.
Yeah, it's going to be in Las Vegas. It's the premier event for the commercial drone industry, focusing on the integration operation of commercial UASs, which is very big these days in terms of technology.
Well, you know, I understand the need for it, and certainly it's a nicer way to get updated data. I guess it goes back to the old spy novels. They were always concerned about having the human on interaction, the human interaction on being able to spy on your neighbors. And it seems now that the UAVs have kind of usurped that, but who knows?
Well, this particular event is one of the largest events that we would be associated with going forward this year. There's something like 4,000 people from 75 countries will be attending. And if you go to our site and you happen to be in the Vegas area in September 5-7, you get a $100 discount and a free expo admission. So we'll have more news on this in the coming weeks when we get closer to the actual event. And I think you'll find that we may even be there. There's a good chance that we may meet some of the folks who want to be part of the Border Poll community, Border Poll family. Mm-hmm. By the way, one of the other things I forgot to mention last week, and you brought it up about how to contact us. We do have a fax phone number, which people say, well, you know, faxes are, don't exist anymore. Well, actually, they do. We have a fax line if you want to write to us confidentially. If you're concerned about security of the internet or whatever, you know, you can't hack into a fax line unless some three-letter agency wants to get into our phone system. I don't think we have to worry about that. But if you go on our website, it's 509-278-1660. So if you want to contact us, giving us leads on stories or what have you, but you're worried about internet security, our fax system is there, and we're ready to receive your inquiries or even your memberships. If you'd like to join our group and don't want to use the internet to expose yourself to hackers or what have you, faxes. We're going old school. Sometimes old school works.
Yeah, well, I guess it goes like a lot of things. It's circular in nature, I guess.
Cyclical. Yes.
The more advanced things come, the more the old school looks not too bad.
There you go. So it's an interesting approach. I hope people understand why in this day of security concerns everywhere that we can offer you a alternative to get in touch with us. And we've actually had that fax line for 20 years. It's kind of funny that we're resurrecting it. What goes around comes around, eh?
Well, people used to say, are you on the leading edge? Well, we might be on the bleeding edge now, but.
Well, it's certainly, it's doable. I not, you know, to just, we tested it, or rather I tested it a couple of weeks ago and it works just fine.
There you go.
You need a fax machine, of course, but now you can buy printers for $50 yeah. bucks that already have a fax machine built in. The Canon, printer, the newest one, 4700 series, actually has a fax facility built in. All you have to do is plug it in to your phone system, and it can be a voice over internet protocol. It doesn't have to be a dedicated landline. It can be wireless, cell phone, doesn't matter. It works. So anyhow, but I digress, you know.
Well, you do and you don't. I mean, you're sitting there thinking, how many years ago were you thinking we're in an office? Even for an organization as small as ours, you would have to have a copy machine, a fax machine, a telephone answering system, a printer. That was 5 or 6 machines sitting around your office, and you can get away now with basically one. It's phenomenal the way technology moves, that's for sure.
Yeah, and not all of it's positive. You read Elon Musk and a bunch of others have decided they want to put a moratorium on AI because they think AI is out of control and dangerous if we don't, as humans and people involved in the technology sphere, don't put some guardrails around how AI is functions and expands into everyday life.
Yeah.
Now this is very interesting because these people have skin in the game.
A long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's again, are we getting too smart for ourselves? Are we just? I keep on thinking of Hal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we going to do ourselves out of existence because we want to have the best and the smartest and most intelligent artificial beings? I don't know. It could be a scary thought. It's like all the people who think that cloning or building dinosaurs out of DNA that they find from hundreds of millions of years ago. And as they said on the internet the other day, that's not really, we've had 4 movies to say, well, that's not a good idea, but are we still going to go ahead and do it? Who knows?
Well, you know, they let the genie out of the bottle with the pandemic. I mean,
yeah,
they were messing up.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's a, you're right, the genie in the bottle. Right, you can kick it, you can rub it, you can do all kinds of things, and who knows what's going to happen when the end product is finally released.
You know, it's a small group of people that are impacting on a large group of people. That's what we have at the moment, kind of as a worldwide phenomenon. You know, we spoke about this in the pre-production, where small groups of ideologically driven or whatever have now for years, literally for a decade now, have been essentially I wouldn't say terrorize, it may be too strong a word, but certainly be influencing way beyond their size.
Yeah, I'd go with the influence part. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something is going on where we're a small group of ideologues. You know, we call them woke, you can call them what you like, but we've got kind of the tyranny of the minorities. Now, it's hard to say this because, you know, millions can hear what we're saying and would interpret our observation. But when you look at sort of the things that are happening in, let's look at the criminal justice system as an example. Somebody decides they're going to push someone in front of a train and a subway because they just do. And there's a lot of this going on. Or someone's walking down the street and gets stabbed or gets just clocked in the face. And you're going, why, what starts off someone to go out and cause harm to someone else for no apparent reason whatsoever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the first thing that comes to you, well, maybe this person is not all there, right? So we have some element of mental incapacity or mental illness. And, you know, the shooting in Nashville last week was one of those things where it comes up at, well, who was this person unhinged? Like, what would cause someone to go in and kill three little kids? Okay. This is not a normal person. Normal people don't do that. And I was listening to a psychiatrist, and I wish I could tell you his name, but it was on a talk show day before yesterday, where they went through literally dozens of these mass shooting issues, incidents rather. And the commonality issue with all of them was that they were all medicated. These are people who were all depressed. They were on medication of some kind at some time in their life. And this particular discussion went on about for the last couple of decades, young kids in school, because they act up or whatever, they're given a Ritalin. The medical profession very much is to be asked, why did they go around giving narcotics to school kids to, you know, calm them down? And wow, you think, okay, now these school kids are in their 20s and 30s, and they're still depressed, and they're still on various medications. I mean, half the population is on either depressants or antidepressants, you know? So the question is, well, how did we get here? And why is there so much strange what's the word? Activities, not even activities, but so much strange behavior, I guess, out there.
Yeah, well, there's that. And we'd mentioned that we weren't going to go political, but I have a rant with that particular line of thought, I guess, is the best way. We just finished a long investigation into the mass shooting in Nova Scotia a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And they come out with all these it's a horrendous for the families involved, for the law enforcement people that were involved, for those that lost their life. It's a travesty. You can't explain it. But one of the recommendations, well, a couple of the recommendations that came to mind out of this whole investigation was they want to limit automatic weapons to 5 bullets. Does that mean you only kill 5 people instead of many? I don't know. I don't understand the concept of that. But it seems to be a real prevalent thing in Canada. We have to establish numbers to do something. We talked last week about the Roxton Road and the Safe Third Country, and it's come out that this has to be all done within 14 days. Well, why is 14 days? What's 2 weeks got to do with it? And the other thing that comes up with that is that the RCMP missed this guy. Okay, there were red flags, there were yellow flags, there were orange flags. I don't care what kind of flags they are. He was missed. And I guess it goes back to what we were talking about with artificial intelligence. Would we be able to put something on a telephone pole that will follow everybody around the country and it will then decide, oh, gee, you know, there's John Smith. I think he's going to be the next guy that pulls trigger and kills 25 people. And we know that's not going to happen.
No.
He seemed to have placed the fault at a law enforcement outlook. They've missed something. Now, I don't know how, when you play Monday morning quarterback, you can say with definitive results that even if they had the information, would there have been able to be any action taken? I don't think so. We've talked about that before.
Well, they want, but the
court systems,
hindsight is, yeah, you know, the old say the hindsight is 2020.
2020, absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, coupled with this now, we're picking on law enforcement to the point where it really doesn't matter what law enforcement does. It's wrong.
Yes.
We are forcing people out of choosing law enforcement as a profession. And here in Canada, we don't have to look too far to see the slippery slope that will go, particularly when we look at the way we have mistreated our armed forces people. We don't even have enough. They're telling us now that we couldn't even go into Haiti and help out if we had to, or could, or wanted to, or should, or shouldn't. Is this what we want to do with our law enforcement across the country? Do we want to have the police second guessing? Because I'm telling you right now that if we do that, then we're going to be seeing a lot more regimental funerals. It won't end well if you leave the police to second guess.
No, and I don't know who'd want to be a recruit these days, when the respect for what they do is literally not there and is encouraged. You know, when it's not just the influence from the U.S. defunding the police, but it's the whole business of respect for law and order and the people who are part of our community to help ensure that law and order is meted out to everybody the same way. Yeah. And there's where the tyranny of the minority is really starting to take effect, where the people who are causing the problems turn around and pretend to be the victims when they get caught. And I see this now as more and more the example of these people who have all these demands to do or to have on society as a whole, whether it's the argument about diversity or inclusion or what have you. Okay, so let's just say that you don't get your way, so you go and you cause a ruckus, and then you get caught, and then you find out that what you were doing turns around and bites you, and then you feign the victimhood. You know, it's like a guy walking down the street and clocks you, and you turn around and you clock him back twice, wait a minute, who started the fight? Doesn't matter, I'm the victim, you hit me back. These people don't like, there's a sort of a propensity now for this, this very minority of people who want everyone to do it their way. It's like the guy who says, I'm a vegan, so you have to be a vegan. No, you can be a vegan, I don't care. That's your choice, but you can't make me be a vegan. And that's a very simple way of explaining sort of the frustration I have with a lot of these things that are going on today in our society across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about law enforcement, or you're talking about banking, or you're talking about hockey, or you're talking, doesn't matter what it is. You know, we have to have it this way. You know, there was this bizarre thing about you know, having women in the NHL. I heard that, I don't know if you heard this one, some weeks ago, they're saying, well, you know, women should be more involved in professional hockey. And I'm like, well, how would you do that? You know, well, you know, this is not something you can force fit into sports. You know, women in professional hockey would be injured continually. Whose bright idea is this? Well, you have to be inclusive. No, this is a dumb argument. It was a dumb argument then. It's still a dumb argument. And I don't, no one's going to ever convince me. And I want to know where the people who've got, you know, more IQ than a bag of cabbages would come up with this business about that makes it, everyone's going to be inclusive when you have crazy stuff like this being, you know, foisted on various sectors of society. And when you turn around and say, no, I don't agree with you. Oh, well, then you must be some kind of, you know, nut job because you don't agree with it. No, you know, so this is the confusion we're coming into now.
On the other side of that coin, I know if I was on a pair of skates, which I haven't been for a very, very long time.
I'd pay to watch you on a pair of skates.
I don't think I'd want to stand in front of anybody who has played hockey for any length of time, male or female or whatever pronoun they wish to be. I would get hurt if they hit me, if they shot a slap shot at me or anything else. So, you know, kudos for them for wanting to play the sports, but let's keep things on an apple to apple kind of approach.
You know, Bob, maybe you see when you start demanding inclusiveness, maybe you're a tall guy. Maybe you should say you should be allowed to play basketball with, you know, some pro team because, you know, you want to play basketball. What a great idea. And if you don't, it'll be an ageism thing because they won't let you play because you're old. Well, you know, you could be the victim. Oh, it's because I'm old. That can mean I can't play basketball.
Well,
yeah, you can take this to a certain length, this argument.
My game films or not, you would understand why I wouldn't be able to do that. But anyway.
but that is the ludicrousness of some of these arguments that are being made. And there's a whole bunch of folks just sitting around going, yeah, well, it doesn't affect me. It's kind of silly. But it does, because one demand that is given credence, however idiotic, then goes to the next, you know, crazy idea that is downstream from some, you know, ideological.
We call it the exemption effect. And classic example out here in British Columbia. Somewhere, some time ago, somebody applied to have a right-hand drive car, which needed an exemption because it wasn't part of our norm. So somebody, in their infinite wisdom, granted an exemption for this individual to have a right-hand drive car. Now, both of us have worked in the government long enough to know that once you make an exemption on anything,
precedence,
it becomes the precedent, and you can no longer deny somebody else that.
Yeah.
So I guess what you're saying with this whole thing is if you allow an individual who is not the norm in a sport, who might well fit into that sport, but the minute you do that, then you've opened the floodgates and you really are at a loss on how you're going to stop it until somebody gets hurt. You know, and then there'll be the gnashing of teeth and the wailing of how could we this happen?
But it's right up there with the business of you know, transgenders in the sport. There was a weightlifting competition in Edmonton last week, where this guy with a beard shows up and says he identifies as a woman and he lifts 300 pounds or whatever, you know, bench presses. Well, no woman's going to do that. And now all of a sudden he's the champion. I mean, this is crazy stuff. I'm sorry, you know, and I want to know where all the feminists are in this one, because they don't seem to be coming out and saying, wait a second here, you know, this is, you're subverting the whole concept here of fair play, of merit and skills-based competition. I mean, what are we doing here? And the deafening silence from the chattering classes at the political level is just beyond me. And I'm thinking, where does this end? Because this is a bizarre society we're living in.
I think a lot of it goes back to the bell curve. Right? I mean, you could plot the Byzantine Empire on the bell curve. You could plot the Roman Empire on the bell curve. The Egyptian Empire, the Aztecs, the Incans. It all goes up and it all comes down somewhere. I guess it depends on how tight the bell curve is or how wide, but it's like a pendulum. It swings to the left and then it swings to the right, and then it swings to the left and then it swings to the right, and eventually
this pendulum's not going left to right, it's going backwards and forwards. I mean, this is very bizarre. The axis is very different on this. This is not even political. This goes beyond that. This is a mixture of different ritualistic ideological bents which are just not mainstream.
Well,
period.
well, yeah, I think that it goes back. I have a lot of respect for the military. I have a lot of respect for the law enforcement people out there. And you have my sympathies. You really do. Thankfully, I'm ancient enough now that I don't have to go out and worry about that kind of stuff. And, the second guessing or third guessing or standing behind somebody else who is waving a baton, trying to stop bullets. I don't know. I admire what you're doing. And thank you for that. From the bottom of my heart.
Well, just to make sure that we haven't forgotten about the border poll ethos, which is about immigration and migration issues, Border Hawk News international section this week has these headlines. Australia set to witness biggest ever immigration surge. 650,000 migrants expected to arrive in Australia in the next 2 years. Australia is basically a giant island in the South Pacific. It has no contiguous border with any country, and they are talking enormous numbers of migrants showing up. Another one, 5.5 million refugees entered Russia amid Ukraine conflict. We keep hearing about the Ukrainians who are going west to get out of that war zone. 5.5 million went east into Russia. I suspect they're probably Russian speakers. Sky-high immigration fueled Canadian population by over a million in 2022. This is the international news. Canada grew by 1 million people thanks to an open-door migration policy, which is not a policy at all. It just means there is no policy. Doors open, come on in, and we'll see how it turns out. That's, of course, a program for another day.
Well, yes, yeah. And all you have to do is kind of look at Angela Merkel's open door policy of having a million asylum claimants come in, and it didn't work out well for her or the German economy, I don't think.
No.
So, but you're right. Certainly worth a chit chat or a chin wag on another venture.
Well, yeah. Maybe we'll have someone who can join us on that program, because this business of the million plus migrants coming into Canada, this is a phenomenal amount for a country with 33 million people. That's a huge jump. And there doesn't seem to be too much discussion with the rest of the folks here. The government of Canada just decided we're going to do this. This is, by the way, we weren't going to talk politics, but this is a government that only enjoys 28% of the popular vote to actually be the government. Okay, so there's and they are hell-bent on changing the demographics of Canada without any restrictions whatsoever. And how that fits in with various communities, the silo building culturally, linguistically, economically is ongoing. I don't know why they're doing this, other than, again, it's an ideology. Like the vegans, I'm a vegan, so therefore you're going to be a vegan. I want open immigration. I don't care what it does to your community. I don't care what it does to the migrant community. We don't care. We just feel good about having no rules at all. And it, well, you know, water will find itself. This is a government that says the budget will balance itself. These are the same people think that, oh, the demographics will balance itself too. Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, and just one step further, just in the news over the last week here in BC, a family of eight were put into a home, rented a home. It was the only thing they could find large enough for their family. Well, the home is derelict. There's holes in the walls. There's black mold. There's rot through the deck. Right? I mean, are we setting these, bring them in? Absolutely. But are we setting them up for failure?
Yes.
But you know darn well that a lot of these people don't want to go to hole in the wall someplace, somewhere. You know, they want to be where their people, their culture, their linguistic abilities, they want to be with family, they want to be with friends. And you know, I guess it is. It's just set up for failure. And we've got people here born in Canada that can't afford homes and are wondering how they're going to be able to drive to their job or whether they're going to put food on the table.
Well, this is one screwy policy. In fact, it's no policy that's going on right now. Well, something we used to be proud of, that we had a really well-functioning immigration and refugee system. We have no system now. This is a no system setup. Mm-hmm. And it's by people who nobody likes. This is, I think I told you in the pre-production, if everybody liked this, there'd be no commentary about it. Mm-hmm. But this is created by a leadership that is pretty well disliked by the majority of the population. Nobody likes these people. I don't care which political party you're talking about in Canada. Nobody really likes these people anymore. Because they don't care about the people on the street. They only care about retaining power, spending money they don't have at the expense of other people. This won't even go into the budget because, you know, the April Fool's joke is that we're all going to be paying more so that they give you a little pittance back and some tax credit. This is a joke, you know. And so I'm sorry, but a pox on all their houses, because not one of those people, as I said earlier in pre-production, none of their hands shake picking up their paycheck, which, by the way, all those MPs get a raise tomorrow. But not one of them, not a single one of them has spoken out against that. And that shows what a bunch of hypocrite, two-faced
individuals.
And, you know, we don't have one of those beeping machines on our thing, but if I really wanted to say, all you'd hear is, you know, that's what I think of.
Well, that's true. And yeah, I guess we had also talked about in pre-production to the need now, because some of the advisors and MPs are getting threats that we need to increase security for them. And
that's because everybody likes them so much, because they're so well respected. Sorry.
But then whether you like Mr. Zelensky or not, you don't see a big security detail around him when he's walking through the rubble in the streets of whatever city he happens to be in. Whether you like him, whether you don't, he seems to be respected, and you know, people, he doesn't feel afraid. I don't know. Does he?
Well, you know, maybe choreographed, but you're right. You know, none of our illustrious leaders will get on a bus to go to work because it's not safe. Well, they created this unsafeness. Okay. And if people actually had respect for these people, they'd be happy to sit on the bus with them, chat on the way to work and say, oh, Mr. MP or Mr. Minister, how's your day going? They don't want to see these people because they're despised. And, you know, and they deserve to be despised.
Wasn't it Churchill who went down and rode the tubes for a couple of times and found out what the people were really thinking? You know, you want the bold, honest truth. Go to the source.
Yeah, well, we're unfortunately not going to get that from this crowd.
Well,
Anyway, we're down to our last minute and a half, Bob. We're going to have to
I don't know if we've solved anything or whether we brought anything forward, but
I
it
feel
kind of
better,
feels
though. I
good to
got it off my
eat
chest. This is one of those, Jesus, good to get it off my April Fools to all you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because the
And
fool on the hill are still doing it to us.
for all the law enforcement people, including, you know, customs, immigration, border agents, the whole work, stay safe.
Indeed. I'll see you next week, Bob.
You bet. Good luck in titling this one.
We'll come up with a clever name. Take care.
See you soon.
Got it. Got it.